In my eyes, indisposed, in disguise, as no one knows, hides the face, lies the snake, and the sun in my disguise. Boiling heat, summer stench, neath the black, the sky looks dead. Call my name through the cream, and I'll hear you scream again. Black old sun, won't you come wash away the rain? Black old sun, won't you come, won't you come?
Far too long for snakes. In my shoes, a walking sleep, and my youth, I pray to keep. Heaven send hell away. No one sings like you.
Black old sun, won't you come to wash away the rain? Black old sun, won't you come, won't you come? Black old sun, won't you come,
won't you come?
Wash away. Till you all just disappear. Black old sun, won't you come to wash away the rain? Black old sun, won't you come, won't you come? Black old sun, won't you come?
Hello, my friends, and welcome to yet another fabulous instance of Loveline. I am DJ Orgy 5000, and this is WRCT Pittsburgh at 8.3. My co-host Pablo and I were discussing over the week about the myth here at Carnegie Mellon that students do not get enough sex. You know, there's this idea that they're studying all the time, working, and never having any time to have sexual encounters, and we just didn't believe this. We had to believe that there were a few students out there who were actually having sex. And so, using the power of the internet, we found a group of students who break this mold. They are students from the Pittsburgh area who are paragons of sexual activity, and they're here tonight to tell you everything about their experiences, about their powerfully arousing and controversial lifestyles, and they're here tonight. I want to welcome you all. With me in the studio is, of course, myself. Pablo is here, although he seems to be off in the control chamber doing some sort of technical adjustments. I've got Alyssa and
Claire.
With us weekly, of course, is
Jeff.
And we also have Doug. Is it Doug? Doug, we're having some problems with Doug's microphone at just a moment, so he won't be speaking for a while. But Claire, since you're the only person with a working microphone, let's start with you.
Okay.
The burning question in my mind is, when I first met you, you appeared to radiate sexuality. I was like, this is a woman who's not afraid of sex.
Thank you.
I mean, so why is that? I mean, so many men and women I meet here at Carnegie Mellon are repressed somehow. They're comfortable in front of a computer, in front of their Zephyr client, in front of their C compiler, but when it comes to actually having sex with a woman or another man or whatever, they've got a problem. So what's that all about?
Well, maybe that's because I don't go to Carnegie Mellon.
Interesting. So
can
Claire,
you hear me?
I can. We can all hear it.
All right.
So Claire, how do you define yourself? Are you a heterosexual, bisexual?
I don't label myself.
Really? So what does that mean? So despite having labels, do you primarily have sex with people of the opposite gender?
If you speak in terms of how many people I've had sex with, I've had more sex with men than I have with women, but I have had sexual relationships with women, if that's what you mean.
Interesting. And so what are your feelings about this? Do you think that people are in general too repressed about...
I think people are scared of sex. I think that people are afraid of getting... people are afraid of one-night stands. I think that people are afraid of women who act on their sexual experiences. I think people are afraid of what women do. It's almost like, oh, if this girl does this, then she's labeled, I can't swear on this program, a tramp. She's labeled sleazy, or she's bad, or she's of a lower class just because she enjoys sex. Well, everybody enjoys sex. If you say that you don't enjoy sex, you're lying. Not even to the people around you, but to yourself. Everybody enjoys sex. Since the beginning of time, people have been having sex. So if you can say that you don't enjoy sex, then you have a problem.
So that sounds very liberating to me. So you indeed enjoy sex, and you're not, unlike some people, you're not trapped in this notion of, you know, I have to be in a monogamous, committed relationship before I can get pleasure from my body. Is that fair to say?
I guess it's fair to say. I mean, if I'm with somebody, then I'll be with somebody. But if I'm not with anybody and something comes up, then yeah, I'll have sex with them, or not even have sex. I'm not saying that I mean, if you're having sex with somebody and you're not in a monogamous relationship with them, I think if you use a condom, if you're protected, if you're safe, then I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I happen to agree. I believe our engineer just revealed to me that Doug is now online. Is that true?
Yeah. What, can you guys hear me?
I'm not sure. Does it appear that we can hear Doug?
Hello, are you guys moving right now? Is all going?
Excellent. Okay, so we're still having some sort of technical difficulty with Doug. So I'm going to focus my attentions on... I keep forgetting your name.
Claire.
Claire, you actually have kind of a... Who's that chick from 90210 thing going? The mean
know.
One?
Oh, Valerie. Tiffany Amber Tyson?
No, in the old days,
it's
you know.
Shannon Doherty.
Yeah, is there not a total Shannon Doherty thing going here?
Yeah, because, you know, I don't know. She's got the dark hair at all, I guess.
It's the dark hair, the seeming innocent kind of demeanor, and yet...
There's nothing about me innocent.
The powerful...
I'm sorry, did I make you blush?
Where do you work, Claire?
I'd rather not answer that on the air.
Okay.
Doug.
Wow.
Where do I work? I strip at Bare Elegance.
So that fascinates you. You're a stripper at Bare Elegance?
Yes.
Wow. So what is that like?
They have a no-touch policy, which sort of gets them it's a little disturbing at times. I mean, they don't have a no-touch policy, excuse me, which means that nasty, drunk, repulsive men can grab you at any time, and that's just a little bit degrading.
So now, what's the type of clientele at a place like this? Are they college students? Are they old, crusty men? Are they, you know?
I think that depends. Have you ever been there before?
I have not ever been there.
I have, actually.
Well, I think that you should come down sometime, and Doug, I do recognize your face.
See ya.
And your hands.
I would hope so, Claire.
So anyway.
Are you blushing?
So how did you get this job at Barrel? I mean, you're a college student trying to make ends meet, I assume. How did you find yourself stripping?
You do what you have to do to get by.
I'd like to turn the pages of history back a little bit and just talk about your early experiences. I mean, were you always as sexually liberated and comfortable as you seem to be right now?
Up until ninth grade, I had braces, I was short, I was fat, I was unattractive, and then I met this guy that changed everything.
Are you laughing at me? I assume he was an orthodontist or a weight loss counselor?
He was, no, he was...
The Borg, we've been visited by the Borg, can you speak again? Speaking to the microphone and say you have been assimilated.
I am safe.
Wow, that's wonderful. So Doug, because of his powerful position in local Pittsburgh politics,
I'm so excited.
Has asked that his voice be electronically altered. But we'll get to Doug in just a moment. Claire, you're in mid-sentence.
What was I saying again?
I believe you were saying that in ninth grade you met the man who
changed everything. Yeah. Well, his name was Juan, and...
What a coincidence. Our own co-host on Love Line's name is Juan.
I love the name Juan. Anyway, he was my age, my grade. We met in the 10th grade, and we were together for quite a bit of time, and he changed everything for me.
And so he introduced you to all kinds of unusual sexual practices.
You could say that.
For example, did you not have your first multisexual orgy in high school?
That's correct. I was 15.
Oh my gosh. With this person who changed everything and another man, another woman?
It was with him and a very good friend at the time. She was 16. We were both 15.
Oh my gosh.
And that was one of many.
One of many orgies. So, you know, how does this happen? Like, how, for example, did I, you know, end up being president of the chess club, and you ended up like having all this incredible sex with very attractive high schoolers?
Because you don't have my legs.
Oh,
really? So is the leg good? If I just shaved my legs, would that make all the difference?
No, I think that I just.
But you were.
I'm open.
Let's face
it.
You were fat. You had bad teeth. I mean,
but,
you know,
the braces came off, and I lost about 15 pounds, and I grew about 4 inches, and.
Man.
I'm 5'9", and I'm comfortable with myself, and I get off on sex. I like sex. I liked it when I was young. I was always a very sexual child. Even when I was, could I have some water, please? Even when I was unattractive, I mean, I just... I liked sex. I mean, I don't know what to say. So I had sex when I was 15,
wait,
and
so
I had my first orgy. What, Doug?
I'm sorry. I was curious. This is awesome. I really actually am kind of curious. What was your first group sexual experience like?
My friend.
Wow, I'm beginning to feel feelings.
My first group sexual—it's getting a little hot in here. My first group sexual experience. I was 15. I was with my boyfriend of the time and a good friend, a mutual friend of the two of us. She was 16. We were both 15. And I don't know. It just sort of happened. I grew up in the city, and she was she lived on a farm. It was about 25 minutes outside of where I grew up, 25-minute drive, and she had an Olympic-sized trampoline in her backyard, and Nobody believes me when I say this. What?
I have a question.
That's a bad combo.
Is trampolining now an Olympic sport? I didn't realize that.
It's a trampoline that a lot of people work out on, actually, that Olympians work out on. It's a very large, it's about 15 feet long and 10 feet wide. And so we were all on this trampoline, and we were under the influence of some drugs, and we were just fooling around, and all of a sudden, Juan jumped down on me, and we started fooling around on the trampoline, and she joined in, and we went into her little sister's bedroom, actually, which fortunately her little sister wasn't there, but we were in her little sister's bedroom on the bunk bed, on the bottom bunk, and it was a great night, to say the least.
Your little sister's bunk bed?
Not my little sister's bunk bed.
Oh, okay.
Her little sister's.
Now, did that add to the sexual thrill, you know, being the, sort of the smell of your 13-year-old sister?
Or she
someone's,
was 10.
Someone's 10-year-old. That's actually kind of sick, right? I mean, you know,
she wasn't blah, home.
WRCP does not, I want to say, support any form of pedophilia, or do we?
WRCP does not.
I do not support any form of pedophilia, but she wasn't home.
She wasn't home.
Her grandfather was home, though.
But her little stuffed animals are probably there. And
yes,
little,
they were there.
Her little Barbie My Little Pony coloring books.
We won't go there with that one. But,
what happened?
Nothing.
So you, this high school boy.
That was one of many.
And some other girl. So what was that? What was the sexual act that was going on? When you have three people, how do you match the various genitalia up?
It ended with I ended up having sex with him that night, and...
Sex, you mean he was actually penetrating your vagina?
Yes. You're getting awfully graphic now, aren't you?
You have a vagina. I mean, are you denying you have a vagina?
No, I'm not denying I have a vagina. I just think you're being pretty
Is this
graphic.
A medical fact?
Yeah, this is a fact that, yes, I do have a vagina.
I actually...
So you ended up... You
we
ended
won't
up,
go there with that one.
You ended up having sexual intercourse with your high school friend in
boyfriend.
The presence... Boyfriend.
In the presence of my friend. Who
was she watching? Was she participating?
She was participating and watching. That was one of many orgies to come.
How was she participating?
I don't know if I can say this on the radio.
You can think of a way to tactfully say this.
This will be a worthwhile lesson to anybody listening anyway.
She was manually stimulating you with two fingers.
I was I was stimulating her.
Oh,
with your hand?
With my hand.
Interesting.
I have to be careful what I say in the show.
How old were you at the time?
15.
15.
Wow. And how did you know to do that? I mean, again, I have to go back to the chess club thing. I mean, you know.
I guess I'm just ahead of you in that department.
I think you're still ahead of me, like, by...
That's a pity, my friend.
There has been a touch.
Wow, you touched my thigh, and already I'm going, man. I'm definitely
around. Maybe you should ask the other people to leave the room, then.
Well,
so how does this start? I mean, the question from Corey was, how did you know how
DJ
to do this?
Orgy 5000 is the proper terminology.
DJ, Corey is my older friend who looks just like you. But so his question is relevant. How did you know what to do? How did you know what was pleasant to her? Where had you seen?
Well, I think that if you're
this?
A female or if you're a male and you're performing some type of sexual pleasure on another person of the same sex, you know what to do because you have the same knowledge of that person's equipment. I was touching her and I knew what would feel good because I am female. It's easier when you're female or if you're male and you're performing this sexual pleasure on somebody of the same sex. It's a lot easier to know what you're doing right or wrong because you have the same knowledge of that person's equipment.
So when I was that age, when I was not in the chess club, there was still all this kind of taboo about homosexuality. And so how did you transcend this idea of, like, I mean, I certainly wanted to touch all of my male friends, but never got a chance to because it was, you know, I would have been considered a total freak and outcast for having those feelings. Like, why were your friends not like that?
Also, if the occasion arose, you would be kind of frozen. That's what I was wondering about.
Well, I think for women, it's a lot easier to explore sexually your feelings about people because it's more accepted for women to be quote-unquote confused or to be lesbian or to be bisexual. For me, I don't like to label myself, but I say that I don't have a criteria for race. It doesn't matter to me.
Race,
sex, anything. It doesn't matter. If I care about...
How about species?
I'm not screwing animals, if that's what you mean.
Okay.
But if you're a female and I find myself intrigued by you, then I will be intrigued by you and maybe, if you're lucky, it be in a sexual relationship with you. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, but I don't really label myself as being lesbian, heterosexual, or bisexual because I think that's a waste of my time.
Well, also, it's especially in our culture, it's a lot more acceptable for women to be called just affectionate in general,
exactly,
on a platonic level.
Exactly.
I think.
Right, but I mean, there's a difference between our culture as adults and our culture as high schoolers. I mean, high school, in my, you know, my high school is totally oppressive.
Well, did you go to high school in an urban city or did you go to high school in a small town?
Somewhere in between. I went to high school in some absurd city right outside San Francisco. So, but everybody was really lame.
Well, I'd have to say that growing up, I mean, sometimes it was hurtful because I always knew that I didn't always follow the straight and narrow, and I always felt like I knew that I was attracted to women just as much as I was attracted to men, so it was difficult for me in high school. Sometimes people would talk and make comments, and it did hurt, but I don't regret the sexual path that I've led, so to speak, and I don't regret the people that I've been with, and I don't regret that the men and the women that I've slept with or had orgies with or been involved with, I'm proud of where I've been and who I've been there with.
Wow, that's fabulous. If I can just turn to Doug for a moment and get kind of the male perspective on the same kind of thing. Doug, did you have sort of correspondingly arousing experiences in high school?
Oh, I had some interesting ones. Once I got out of,
I find your robotic voice, by the way, very arousing. I just want you to say that. I don't know how you
sound. I sound like Viggo from Ghostbusters.
All right.
I'm sorry, was that inappropriate?
This is a public affairs program. Please continue with the conversation.
Well, then.
It's like, robot, let's reset your program and continue.
I could be like everyone's. Never mind. Since I've been to college, things have been a lot more sexually liberating, I think, in many ways. But I know in high school there were many instances where it was considered, especially at the time when I was coming of that kind of sexual age, that it was considered avant-garde and almost trendy to have bisexual experiences. And even though it held a sort of scandalous connotation, it's still sort of...
Really? So it's sort of cool to be bisexual.
Well, not necessarily cool. There was still like the whole homogenous factor in my high school that I think every high school feels, where they feel people oppress them for whoever they are, regardless of being at the top of the ladder or the bottom. But at the same time, if you manipulated the situation right at the time, that was also you could sort of not transcendent, because transcendent has sort of a condescending connotation to everyone else, but you could sort of rise above, which I guess means the same thing, all of the other stuff that was going on. My first group sexual activity happened when I was a junior in high school. And
this is so painful for me. But please continue. Go ahead.
Rock to Queen 3. Meanwhile.
I know that it's painful to hear my electronic voice like sort of like permeate over my natural one, or whether it's painful to actually hear it. But besides that, no, I was, well, first I was near a major college at the time, and so I was, and when I came back to my high school after a brief absence there, and when I came back, all my friends, I sort of had rejected all those people in my, high school because I wasn't a very popular. I was extremely unattractive, and I was sort of. I was the typical overweight, short, glasses, braces.
Who participates in orgies? Very typical.
Yeah, you know, those are the kinds.
I find it very, very surprising to see you now, because now you are a sexual paragon. I mean, I look at you have this very kind of. I don't know, what would you call it? So fabulous hairstyle, very kind
David.
Of cute, kind of punky, you've got this kind of like, do me now kind of, I mean, you're fabulous, let's say, what can I say? I look at you and I think this man is very attractive.
It's a Greek sculpture come to life. Really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in some sense. And so it surprises me to hear you describe yourself as some sort of homely kid, because you're the opposite of homely right now. You're, if I could have any more of an erection right now, I would.
But you come back and you sort of like meet your dermatologist and you find your...
You meet your dermatologist?
Yes. You meet your dermatologist. It's a defining point in every adolescent's life. You kind of meet your dermatologist and all of a sudden everything becomes clear to you now. Tetracycline becomes a major factor and all of a sudden clindoxide is used and wiped profusely over your face and some, like every other sort of strange sort of medicine can be used, and then you get your eyes or self-correcting or your contacts, I don't know, whatever.
See, solve the acne problem. What was the fat problem? I'm fascinated by this because how did you solve your overweight problem? Did you just stop eating? I mean, so many high school students today have this like eating disorder. I mean, I would hate to encourage people to like encourage their eating disorders, but
I was in extreme angst for a while, I guess was my big issue, and that I went through that sort of I want to be a CK1 ad situation, so I would be like,
right.
Yes, I'm just going to take lots of different various kind of drugs and lose lots of weight and be very angstful and write that poetry and sort of, talk about, like, I fear the cold razor gets my hot touch and do all those cheesy things and then get really thin and hate all my friends and have promiscuous sex. So that was my sort of situation. Then I came.
Did you accomplish all of those goals?
I didn't achieve the promiscuous sex when I was in that phase, but when I came back, I started to because I met a lot of. I was still friends with a lot of people from my local university, and there I became sort of the person for hire, except not for hire, more for use at the local dormitories near my hometown, which was kind of cool. So I kind of...
I find your story very endearing, but I prefer Claire's approach to sex. You had such an intellectual bent on it, while Claire was just overcome by sex. Claire's life was totally sexual in some respect, and I interrupted because your microphone went off, by the way. But... I don't know. What does everybody
else?
What do you
want me to say?
You can lose the electronic voice. It's kind of more disturbing than anything else, if you want to.
Okay. So we are going to seamlessly talk about another topic right now while I discuss with Claire about her sex life. I'm actually completely fascinated about what you just said, Doug, but I'm not going to talk to you about it. Sorry about that.
Doug, do that thing with your voice again, please.
That's right. We're very professional here, so we'll just edit that before
Liar.
It goes out over there. Oh, by the way, I don't even know why I didn't mention this. If you're just totally craving to ask a question of one of our very sexually...
You can ask me anything you want.
Claire will answer any question.
As will Doug. If he ever has a voice again.
And the phone numbers... Hold on. The phone numbers are 268-WRCT. And if you're off campus, country code 1, area code 412-621-9728. That's 621-WRCT. So please call in if you have a question. Also, don't forget to check our website, which is at http://loveline.wrct.com. Claire, so you already told us about the first orgy you had in high school, which was with this man and your high school friend. Were there others?
Yeah.
And the thing that fascinates me about orgies is that it seems like, once you have sex with someone, it seems like you've done this sort of intimate thing and there's a kind of a connection there. Do you find that people want to be girlfriends with you or have some kind of relationship or see you a lot or what? I mean, what's the aftermath of an orgy?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's the aftermath of an orgy, and can you tell us about other sort of notable orgy experiences?
Well, I'd have to say that I think that people are always interested once you go from sex to sex with multiple partners. I think that it's definitely intriguing. It's interesting. You're aroused by it. It's something different. I've had
yes, I had multiple orgies, not because I consider myself trashy or I consider myself to be slutty, if I can say that on the air, but I think that once I tried it, once I got interested in it, it was intriguing to me. So I've had orgies since the first one.
So what is the aspect of an orgy that's so interesting? Is it just the idea that every bodily orifice is being stimulated, or?
Yes, and I think that also it's not something you're quote unquote supposed to do. Hello. What was that?
Yeah, we just took a hit by the Ferengi on the port side of the studio, but thankfully the shields were up, and so.
Oh, all right. I think that after my first experience with Juan and this girl that I was friends with, I had several others. After that, my best friend and Juan and I had an orgy where I did have sex with both him and her. And after that, Juan and I broke up. We've been engaged for 2 years, and it was time to move on. I didn't feel like I was old enough to be ready to dedicate my whole life to somebody, because I had had these sexual experiences, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to be married to a man. So after my experience with Juan and these other two girls, I left him, and I had several others. One was with an ex-boyfriend and a girlfriend at the same time. I had sexual relations with both of them at the same time, which was, needless to say, interesting. That went on for a few months until I broke up with him, and I moved on to other people. I've had multiple sexual orgies, I guess you could say, not partners, throughout my life for the past about 3 years, since I was a sophomore in high school. I'm a freshman in college now. But I think as long as you're safe, there's nothing wrong with being sexually free.
Do you have a steady boyfriend right now?
Do I have a steady boyfriend right now?
Well, boyfriend. I mean,
she's used the term a number
girlfriend.
Of times.
Girlfriend.
I don't have a steady boyfriend right now. I have somebody that I've been with for about a year, but we're, because of the situation, because I'm in Pittsburgh and he is where I grew up, it is difficult to be faithful to one another, I think. You have a question, Doug?
Yes. Has anything interesting developed since you've come here?
Has anything interesting?
From life support to the port in the cells.
Let's see. I guess you could say I've had a few girlfriends since I've been here, which my boyfriend back home does not know about. I have been involved with not very many girls, but a few, and not very many guys, but a few. Like I said, I do believe that safe sex is important. I don't consider myself to be loose. I think, like I said, I have no criteria for sex or race, but I think sex is an important part of people's lives. I really do.
Yeah,
anything interesting or exciting happened lately?
Okay.
Since these are leading questions.
There was a girl that I had had intimate feelings for quite some time. And I told her recently about them, and there was a brief encounter, and I'm waiting to see what happens.
Well, that's right. I mean, we of course don't want you to talk about anything you don't want to talk about, but is this someone that you have strong emotional feelings for, or strong sexual feelings, or both?
Both. Yeah, both.
I want to go back to just for a moment to what Doug was saying earlier. You were suggesting that you were the kind of how the sex pig of your dormitory, like people would go to you for sexual servicing. Is that a fair?
Was he saying that when I was in the bathroom? Wow, you're an SOB.
No, that Doug was the sex pig, not you know.
Doug, you are a sex
pig. No, Doug was saying that he was a sex pig.
Oh, I thought he was referring. I thought he was talking about me.
No,
I mean, okay. No, I do I have emotional and sexual
feelings. As a Venus, did you receive people who were seeking sex?
Do I
freely?
Receive
Do you? Because, like, I was just talking about me in high school when I was doing my thing. I never made any reference to you, actually.
All right, I was in the bathroom.
Well, you're getting hung up on the stigma of being a slut, I think, but...
Well, you know, I think for females, it's very... You worry about that because it's such a free word that is tossed around that it, as a society, if you're a female and you have sexual relations with men or women, especially if you're bisexual like I am and you have sex with men and women, you're considered a slut. And that is a very hurtful thing to be labeled.
You know, I agree. Forget the negative connotations for a while. There's something very beautiful about, as you said before, I think, having a free sexual life.
Does that turn you on?
That turns me on, but most importantly, it turns you on, I hope, right? So,
I need
so
a cigarette.
There might be nothing wrong in receiving people in your dorm who came with good intentions in a sexual manner and pleasing each other that way. Is that, did you do that?
Didn't Doug do that?
Yeah.
Indeed, that was
Alyssa, I think Alyssa has something to say.
You know, Alyssa, you have some interesting issues.
Yeah, Alyssa hasn't spoken yet. I think she should talk.
But first, let me quickly say, I think that in today's society, especially with, we're in, I guess, from a purely intellectual sense, we are in a post-feminist era. Although, you know, lots of people want to, like, push again for a resurgence of the feminism. But besides that, so nowadays, neither man nor woman can get away with being sexually promiscuous without being considered slut. And maybe amongst their own peers, they can still tell people the stories of their endeavors and be considered cool on either ends of the scale, but still as far as... the mass populace goes,
There are two things about being a slut, right? One of them is that you do it out of some personal shortcoming, out of some neurosis, out of some need to be accepted and liked. You have sex with people so that they will seek you out again. But then there is the other, more sexually free approach, right? The other attitude where you don't really seek to have sex for any particular reason. You just have sex a lot.
Well, I know, okay, when I was in high school, I just, you know, had sex a lot because... I happen to enjoy sex a lot, and I
think you and I need to hook up sometime. Doug.
Ooh la 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 la.
But I do have to say that the last orgy I had did involve Alyssa, who's sitting next to me right now, and so I was wondering. I'm sorry to call you out on this, but I was wondering your opinion of what happened between me and you and. We'll just call him Boy X for the moment. I was wondering. I'm sorry. She's looking at me like I just killed her mother. What I think. So what you think. So what do you think about what happened?
Oh, I have no comment.
Well, actually, this is kind of interesting because...
This is interesting because nobody here knows about what happened between the two of us, Alyssa. So I think that you should comment, or I'm going to, and I don't think you want that.
I'm more interested in what Doug has been doing in the past month.
Well, actually, I find this kind of interesting, too, actually, now that you mention it, because, Claire, you say that you and Alyssa have been involved in something, like, rather risque, yet I know in my history as well.
I personally do not support outing people in any way, including what's going on right now.
Okay.
If Alyssa really doesn't want to talk about it,
liar.
I think she should...
Okay, I will talk about... All right, to divert the subject momentarily, I will talk about... what shall I talk about?
Well, earlier you said that you would turn into some kind of dormitory sex toy that all the confused, you know, men that wanted to have sex... This is the way I interpret it. All the people that wanted to try out sex with another man would come to you because they knew you were a sex pet.
Well, it wasn't just a question of, like, men on men. It was a question of women on men, too. I mean, it was just... I was sort of, I guess I was kind of this, like, I mean, I was, like, a cute high school kid, you know, I was, like, young and innocent appearing.
That's the best time.
Yes, this is when I sort of came into my own.
Wow.
And so, I went into the, I had a friend who I was already sexually active with, who introduced me a lot to a lot of her friends, and she was of a rather liberal character. So what would happen is that I would go to them and they would, she had bragged to them about certain oral skills of mine, which may or may not have been true, but, you know, I couldn't tell you from personal experience.
Let's assume they were.
Assume they were. Okay, that could be fun. But, so I would administer, I would orally pleasure many females in this certain social circle and dormitory and just general populace of this university, and I would just sort of go from person to person as I would be passed off weekly, well, somewhat weekly, and then it's really not as bad as it sounds, but it wouldn't just be sort of a unisexual situation where also it was rather in the open that I was also open to pleasuring males too as well. So I would, you know, go and suck stuff
So how do you announce that, and weren't you worried about becoming some kind of pariah?
Not really.
And did it work? Did you find that a lot of people were interested in being serviced by you?
Actually, yes. I found that I became quite a popular individual down there. So I kind of like found a certain empowerment in that. What with my inferior age to these individuals and whatnot. So, and at the same time, I was always rather well read in cultural theory, so I sort of understood my own empowerment in that situation, sort of like where I stood as far as.
You mean when somebody would cry and implore for you to suck them, you would realize because of your course on cultural theory that you were empowered?
Yes, of course. I mean, I knew that if I just used my tongue just like that, like wow. If, you know, you just suck as such, you know, that makes you a cultural theorist in ways, and that like, somehow you've reached a sort of intellectual superiority just by the virtue of giving superior head.
Wow, this is...
That's what I think, you know? It's all about who can service the best in this world.
Not who you know, it's who you blow.
You may have power over people, but at the same time, they may despise you, perhaps. Sometimes because of the power you hold over them.
Actually,
society certainly empowers them to despise you because of the service you're giving them.
If they despise me, then oh well. You know what? I don't care. I'm who I am, and I enjoy what I do as Doug does. Doug enjoy what he does, and if they despise us, they're just jealous. Mm. Despite and jealousy are two different things.
I must admit that actually I was quite a little brat. I was a little prick. I think that's a legal word to say. I was a little jerk in that context, and so I think that I sort of prompted a lot of resentment against me because I sort of like held this sort of detached position in all my situations. And then, I mean, even since I've gotten to college, I've had a big problem with maintaining emotional attachment in my sexual relations, which I think has caused me some issues, but at the same time, it's caused some very interesting stories, I think.
So what did you get out of it, both of you?
What did I get out of it?
Mm-hmm. Besides the empowerment. Was there anything else?
I don't know. You know,
you said you were detached, so you probably didn't have a wonderful memory of it. Not a bad one either, simply no memory.
Actually, I think I had a kind of like, I think I have this fear that I've turned into a sociopath, and that like I've sort of abandoned all ideas of what would be considered morally right and wrong, and so I don't really have negative memories of anything that happened, more anecdotal if anything, and sort of they're taboo, yet at the same time kind of funny if discussed in the right social context, and even in my own mind, sort of, I can't even say that which does not kill you makes you stronger sense, because it would in no way threaten me at any point. So I felt better about that. But at the same time,
Doug, we're going to interrupt you for a moment. I believe we've just had a phone call.
Yeah, we had a phone caller.
Yes!
With a question.
Yes!
For all those involved today. She wanted to know.
Speak up.
She wanted to know if you would consider dating impotent people who weren't interested yes. in you for your sexual ability.
I can well, talk
I,
about this.
I think Doug and I can both talk about this.
It's okay, Meg.
Meg Ryan was a contributor to In Pittsburgh, but I don't think she has any opinion on this. What is your opinion, Claire? What is your response to the impotence suggesting?
I would have to say that I believe that if you truly care about somebody, it doesn't matter, Alyssa or Doug or anyone else who's in the room with me, it doesn't matter if you care about somebody, it doesn't matter if they're good and bad or not. If you truly care about them, then it doesn't matter if they're good and bad or not. It's just, you just care about them.
So you divide two people in the groups that you have sex with and then the people that you care about?
Well, there's a difference between who I have sex with, who I have orgies with, and who I decide to be intimate with. People I decide to be intimate with are special to me, and I think Alyssa can agree with me.
And you hope to have sex with them, but you don't have to. Is that right?
No, I don't have to.
That's wonderful.
I'd like to remind our colleagues.
That's truly wonderful.
By the way, that our phone number is 268-WRCT.
There is... I'm sorry.
621-WRCT. Please call in. That's area code 1-412-621-9728. Please call in if you have questions. I'm actually concerned about there is a difference between being impotent and just being not very good. Oh, we have my producer is telling me we've got another call. So
and that takes priority over everything. So go ahead, caller. Hello.
Is the caller there?
Yes.
Welcome to the show. And how are you doing tonight?
Hi, good.
Do you have a question or a comment to ask?
Yeah, right? I'm the person that...
Can you turn your radio off,
please? Oh, there's a delay?
Right, yes, there's a delay. It's very confusing.
Okay. It was my question about the impotence, but I have an additional question to ask.
Oh, thank you for calling back.
Please proceed with this question. Sure. We're very interested to hear this question.
And the addition to that would be, would they be able to be faithful or monogamous, or would they have to continue this orgiastic sort of...
That's a fascinating question to me. Indeed, that's a very, very perceptive question. Do you consider monogamy an important virtue, or have you transcended that thing?
No, but if you care about someone and you want to be with that person, I mean, are they capable of intimate relationships?
Okay, let's let our guest answer that.
I think that if I care about or love somebody, then I'm definitely capable of an intimate relationship. But at the moment, I'm not with anybody I love.
Intimate and
monogamous.
Do you consider monogamy important? Would you?
Well, I think if you're in love with somebody, monogamy is very important. But right now, I'm not monogamous with anybody. So if I decide to go out and sleep with more than one partner, as long as I use a condom, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that. But if I met a man or a woman that I fell in love with and that I felt like I should be monogamous to, then I would definitely be monogamous with them. And if I didn't, I feel like that would be dishonest and unfaithful.
Claire, do you love your boyfriend?
The person I'm seeing now who's back home?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. But not in... It's not really being in love with him. It's...
That's not a fair question.
It's being...
people who claim to be monogamous...
It's okay. No, I'm in love with him, but I don't claim to be monogamous with him. And he doesn't know that.
And even if you claim to be in long distance, there's a lot of excuses that are forgiving routinely.
Yeah, I guess I definitely say that our circumstances are forgiving.
How about Doug?
I, on the other hand, don't have quite the same monogamous exclusive idea of relationships just because, in general, I am not quite as, I've never been in love, I've been in monogamous relationships in which I've maintained that, but I think if the other partner were impotent, well, I guess it would have to be a rather specific kind of relationship for me in which, it would obviously be a homosexual relationship. That would kind of eliminate a certain factor to me, which would be
Are you saying you kind of relate to a woman with when sex is not involved, you still prefer to have a relationship with a man?
No. I think that if I am in a relationship with a man, I don't generally prefer anal sex. I have endeavored to that area,
but I don't generally prefer it, to be quite honest. So
you have to take my seminar. I'm sorry.
Hello?
Hello?
Someone there?
Am I still here?
Yeah, you're still there.
Are you brimming over with new questions? Is Doug taking too long for you? Or what's that?
No.
Am I bad?
It's just that this is really hard to do with the whole delay thing, but...
Well, turn off your radio.
Turn off your radio. It makes it a lot easier for you. They always tell you to do this on, like, radio stations. Come on, turn off your radio.
Okay, so one of you say that you have been in love.
Yes, I have.
And one say that you have not.
I have. My name's Claire. Hi, how you doing?
So is this sort of, like, substituting love, or is it sort of as an endeavor to... accomplish love.
Well, if I'm in love, then I'm in love, and if I was in love with you, I'd be faithful to you. If I was in love with a male, I would be faithful to a male. And if I wasn't in love with somebody, then I really don't think being faithful matters. As long as you're open and honest with the person that you're sleeping with and they know where you're coming from, I don't think it matters if you're faithful or not, as long as you're honest. But if I was in love with somebody, I would stay faithful to them, and I expect that they would be faithful to me.
Absolutely, but that wasn't really... The point of my question was, I mean, obviously monogamy could or could not be an issue, and if you're with someone that wants to be in a monogamous relationship, then you have that option. But the point is really, since you are completely, since you live your life as this sexual being and only as, and it encompasses most of your life, are you able to have relationships with people intimately that you don't, that will not reciprocate, or you can't offer sexual aspects to them?
Are you saying, would she be faithful to somebody who couldn't?
No, it's not only just the faithful aspect.
No, you're saying that could I be with somebody faithfully, stay faithful them to who would not have sex with me? Is that correct?
Well, that was one aspect. Yes, that's true.
If I was with somebody and I cared about them and they could not have sex with me, then yes, I would stay faithful to them if I cared about them. If I cared about them. If I did not care about them and we were just seeing one another, then no, I would not stay faithful to them. But if I was in love and they could not have sex with me, then yes, I would stay faithful.
Well, I'd like to inject a tangential question, if you all don't mind, which is, given that you've had all this great sex with multiple partners, can a person ever go back to sort of like, you know, sex with a single partner over and over again with no variety, no additional people? Is long-term lifetime monogamy good enough to someone who's tasted the forbidden fruit of the three-way orgy?
Not when you're 19.
Yeah.
Not when you're 19. What? Oh, so you're saying that, you know, as you grow up, you indeed think that you could be in a lifelong monogamous relationship?
Well, I definitely think if I meet the right person, then I can definitely be with them for more than a course of 6 months or 1 year or however long I'm with that person for. But right now, I feel like I'm at a point in my life. I'm 19 years old, and I don't feel like I could be faithful unless I was completely in love. And right now, I'm not completely in love with anybody to be faithful with them. I'll be honest with them, and I'll be true to them, and I'll tell them what I'm feeling and thinking. But as for being faithful, I don't think I could do that right now. And he has something to say.
Venus rescued. I had this great image of you that you were breaking down, saying that you could be faithful for so long, even without having any sex, and now you have just... return me to my belief. Thank you.
I have one more comment, and then I'm going to hang up. It's about the whole slut thing. I don't think that being bisexual or heterosexual or homosexual or any of those situations deem you as being a slut. It's what you do.
Thank you.
In other situations or with those situations that make you a slut. And I think that's a pretty judgmental
And the intentions with which you do it, right?
Well, no. Not necessarily.
Okay.
And, you know, who's to say that the people that, you know, if you go back hundreds of years, people who had sex before they were married kind of thing, or sex with like other ethnic group kind of thing, whatever. Like, you can't say that these people are sluts just because. So I think that's a pretty ridiculous statement to label to use.
I personally totally agree with the caller. I think that people are far too judgmental when it comes to areas of sex. People should just, stop being so judgmental and just enjoy themselves and let others enjoy themselves. And I really appreciate all the points the caller made. I think she's fabulous. And thank you very much for calling.
Sure, thanks.
You're wonderful.
Thank you.
We have only a few minutes left, and I would actually like to use these few minutes, unless you have a better idea, since I am always interested in the kinky side of life, just tell me, we talked about love and commitment, all that stuff. Please let's turn this and tell me about the most fabulously pleasurable sexual experience you've had. Is there a particular orgy you can share that's been unusually special?
When you lost your
anal virginity, that, for example, is always an interesting topic.
There was at one point I was with the boyfriend I'm with now, his name's Brian, and I was with Brian, and I was with Brian's best friend, and Brian's...
Man or woman?
Well, I was with Brian's best friend, and Brian's best friend's name is, David, and I was with David and his girlfriend, whose name was Lindsay, I think, but I'm not sure. So anyway, the four of us were really drunk, and we had been in Lindsay's room for a while, and we'd been drinking, and... We started, the four of us, having sex, and I was having sex, anal sex, with Brian, and I was having sex, lesbian sex, with Lindsay, and Lindsay was having anal sex with Brian, and it had to be the most erotic experience of my life.
Now, how could you both be having anal sex with Brian?
I'm sorry, excuse me. I was having sex with Brian, my boyfriend. She was having anal sex with her boyfriend while she was performing sex on me. Does that make sense?
With David, as she was performing oral sex.
Yeah, that's correct.
That sounds fantastic.
That's a topology experiment, actually.
So what about you, Doug?
Oh, I mean, I just had a rather interesting experience just recently, which I thought was kind of unusual. I had group sexual activities, but I never had a full out orgy before. But I guess what constitutes an orgy? Like more than four people?
I'm not an expert.
It was an exciting experience. It was three guys and two girls, and what happened was, it was just like a bunch of people, we were all hanging out, and then all of a sudden we were all naked, and then all of a sudden three of us were messing around, and
sounds
it was a fun situation, and there was a girl, and she was sort of like going back and forth orally between us two guys, which was orally pleasurable due to the fact that there was a tongue ring, and then it was just, it was a very exciting situation. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Some kind of piercing.
Yes, okay. I mean, I think that's definitely a topic unto its own. And then, the other two people got involved and it was just sort of like a switching situation. I mean...
Is our producer trying to communicate that we have phone calls in the queue, or am I misunderstanding? No.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. So, in both cases, the greater pleasure seems to equal greater numbers of people. Do you think that will always be true?
I think as I get older, that might not always be true, but for now, I'm enjoying having multiple partners. I'm enjoying having orgies. I'm enjoying having sex with men and women, and if that changes when I'm 20 or 25 or 50, then it changes, and maybe I'll be with somebody that I care about. But as for now, I'm enjoying sleeping with multiple partners and people at the same time.
It's interesting because the pop culture or whatever, the common knowledge is that women get more sexual as they approach 30, the 30s, while men are more sexual when they are 20s, but you are...
I keep going and going, and I like the energizer.
I would like to meet you in 10 years when you become 30.
Well,
that's
going
to be quite an
explosion.
You'll probably kill me, actually.
I'd probably kill you right now.
Yeah, that's true, probably true.
I'd personally like to have all the kind of intimate videotapes. Do you have any kind of video log of your experiences that you can... Maybe we can put that on the Loveline DVD ROM.
I have a few, but I don't think there's anything I'd like to share.
You do?
Oh, so you actually do have videotapes of some of your exploits.
Maybe.
Yeah, they were from high school, actually. They were kind of, like, interesting ones. I think right now they cost
over
child
porn.
Doug, I think you and I are going to need to make a videotape.
Ooh.
I'm intrigued by this.
Well, so, So, what circumstances do you make? Yeah, go ahead.
Pablo, I would like to just interrupt you and just share with our listeners that this is WRCT Pittsburgh. 88.3 FM, and it is midnight.
And we would like to thank the person in the next show to let us go on for another few minutes as well.
We're popular.
So how did this? So you have videotapes of you having sex with more than one person?
Yes.
I have one videotape of me having a threesome that started as a poker game, and poker is a very dangerous game to play, especially strip poker. Especially when
I love strip poker.
It gets really very interesting.
Yes, it does, especially if you lose.
You know, okay, I swear to God, the person I was, one of the people was cheating because they kept assigning.
I lost strip poker to two guys, and I spent the night sitting on a chair completely naked, straddling this chair, and we threw in some extra rules, and I ended up having sex with both of these
guys. Do you
guys
play the rules where what happens is once you lose all your clothing?
I'm a little uncomfortable.
No, I'm not uncomfortable. Only because of the pressure of the pants.
Come over here. I'll release that pressure.
Well, I'm sure. I'm afraid we cannot do that over the air. So. So the wait a second. So straddling the chair, I had to form the perfect mental image. Did you turn the chair around so that the back was facing the table?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I interrupted you, Doug. Go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. I was just curious if you played by the rules that when you lost, after you lost all your clothing, you had to sort of ante for favors.
Mm. What kind of favors you mean?
Well,
like,
she said she
well, I said
sex.
I ended up having sex with both of them. I ended up having oral sex with one of them and having anal sex with the other one.
Finger
and
cups.
There were some pictures involved.
Was that the result of
involved,
hands?
You must know. Hands?
Of poker hands, or did just everything break loose after a while?
I had just never played poker before, and I got myself involved in way too much than I should have.
What I'm asking is that, was the sex a result of you losing a hand at poker?
She probably didn't know what the rules were.
I was drunk. I had never played poker before. They were like, strip poker? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I ended up playing poker with these two guys who I had crushes on both of them, and I ended up having oral sex with one of them and having sex with the other one, and it was an erotic experience, to say the least.
Games are important.
Games are very important.
I have a question. Do you like anal sex?
Why are you offering?
I could be, but actually I'm curious for I'm curious for many reasons. I'm curious for a partner's knowledge, future partner's, perhaps yours. And I'm curious for my own knowledge as well. I mean, is this a pleasurable experience or is this a...
It depends on the partner.
Size or what?
It just depends on the partner. If you're incredibly small and there's no feeling, then what can I say? You suck. But I think that if you're good at what you do and if you enjoy anal sex and if I enjoy it with you, then there's no problem. And no, I don't have a problem with anal sex, and I find it to be enjoyable depending on the partner that I have.
You know, you just set back male psychology like 20 years, by the way, when you said that. Like, whatever happened to the size doesn't matter situation? Or was that all a lie all this time?
It's not how big you are. It's what you do. That's what you have.
Oh, wait, I'm hearing Alyssa say it's a lie. What do you think?
How can anybody else think otherwise? How can anybody think that such a simple rule as the bigger the better would actually be true? It makes no sense. Simplicity never is
actually
real.
Sometimes the bigger the better can be a bit overwhelming.
Men say that. It's
mostly heterosexual, insecure men who have never had sex with men before, so how would they know the bigger the better? They're just insecure about themselves. They've never had a penis in them, so how would they know? They can come talk to me. Thank you very much.
I'm afraid I might have to just sort. I hate to do this, but we are past our deadline. Then the next show has to go on the air. I would like to close the thought with the bigger the better. And indeed, I believe the bigger the better. And I want to thank you for coming on tonight. Perhaps we can continue this conversation on a future show.
Definitely.
But we have to go. Doug, Clarice, Alyssa, your name's not Clarice. I don't know.
Claire. Claire Excellence, come and see me.
Thank you for joining us.
I'll be seeing you.
And
Redwig.
Thank you to the caller as well.
And good night.
Good night.
Din, 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 din. When she
She's like, 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 she's